This is Old Time Radio Drama for a Saturday night. I'm Norman Gilliland. Good evening. On our bill of fare tonight, Jack Benny and Gangbusters, the Damon Runyon Theater, and Radio City Playhouse, not to mention, at about 10:30, the Inner Sanctum. We'll start with an excursion in the West with Dr. Six Gun. In fact, this is the opening episode, the pilot episode of the series, with Ray Mattson, M.D., being Doc Six Gun, and also on hand, Paolo the Gypsy, his sidekick. Our story has to do with a Pennsylvania wagon train, vintage 1871, some measles and some poisoning that take a toll on the Apache. Wow. Our story has to do with some Indian chiefs poisoned. That's the name of the episode, in fact. It stars Carl Weber, and it comes to us from September 2nd, 1954.
Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The first episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Ray Mattson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, a symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Dr. Six Gun was my friend. Me? Well, they call me Paolo. It's as good a name as any for a gypsy. I am a peddler, and I have many things in my pack. There is not much of which I am proud, but there is one thing. I can call Doc Six Gun my friend.
Huh? Hello?
This one, this Black Raven, is also my friend. Hey, Midnight!
Huh? Hello?
Well, a bird that talks is no more strange than a man who sings. But let me tell you of my friend, the doctor. It was in the spring of 1871 that the wagon train came into the territory. Pennsylvania Germans they were, and on the whole, a respectable lot. Except for one man. Well, we wandered into a camp one April morning, Midnight and I, to see what we could sell them. And there, our story begins.
What is it, Mr. Polk?
Randall tells me you got a sick Indian boy in your wagon.
That's right. He come stumbling into camp about 20 minutes ago. Half delirious. Said his village was sick. We're going to move north.
You don't say. Get him out.
Now, wait a minute.
I said get him out.
Well, I happen to own this wagon, Mr. Gortz.
And I happen to be leader of this wagon thing. We've been starving in these rocks for 6 months now. We can't afford sickness. Where is he?
Inside.
Okay, Injun, on your feet. On your feet, I said. Understand?
Well, he's one of them Spanish-talking mescalero Apaches. He don't savvy.
Well, he'll savvy this.
Don't hit him, Cole.
I'll hit him if it makes a move. Come on, now.
Here, let me help you, young fella. Now, easy, easy. Let me help you down.
Okay, Membrano.
Can't you see he's too weak?
A couple of bullets are on his feet and he'll move. Oh, no? Okay, maybe you're caught.
Please.
Out of the way.
Pardon me, gentlemen.
Who the devil are you?
My name is Pablo, sir. I am a peddler.
Get that raven away from me.
Midnight, come here.
He will not harm you, sir. He's a pet. Right, Midnight?
Right.
Did I hear him talk?
Oh, Midnight does many things.
Watch. Midnight. Midnight. Untie my sack.
Look at that.
I don't care if he's a genius. Keep him away until we take care of this injured.
Gentlemen, please. I could not help but overhearing. The boy is sick. Is he not?
He'll be a lot sicker if he don't get.
Or perhaps I could help. I am on my way to see a friend of mine in Frenchman's Fort, a physician. I will take the Indian boy along.
Oh, that's mighty nice of you, stranger.
Pablo. And this is Midnight.
My name's Willie James. This here's our leader, Aaron Bork.
I'm going to round up the men, folks, for a meeting. See that this engine is gone before we start.
Mr. James, would you help me tie the Indian boy to my mule? He seems very weak. Oh,
sure thing, Pablo.
All right. Now, careful. Thank you. Perhaps I will come back here and sell some trinkets to your people.
Not to this wagon train. This is bad luck outfit. We ran out of money, had to butcher our oxen for food. We've been stuck here 6 months. When winter comes, I don't know what'll happen. My wife and little girl. Well, you best be going.
Perhaps I will return anyway. Adios.
What's the name of this doctor friend of yours?
Doc Sixgun.
Oh.
You've heard of him?
Well, who hasn't? Only doctor I ever know to pack six shooter on his hip. Oh, he come up a few weeks ago, treat my missus.
Wouldn't take a cent.
Yes, that sounds like my friend. Well, sir, adios. Come along, Midnight. Excuse me, doctor. Do you have any cure for a restless soul?
Pablo, you old son of a gun. Where you been?
Where have I not been? How are you, old friend?
Just fine. You look well.
Weep before God, laugh before people. However,
but come in. Come in. Stay a few weeks. Stay a year. Where's Midnight?
Well, here.
There you are, you old seagull. See you in the dark. Well, Pablo, you coming?
One moment, please. I have a sick Indian outside.
A sick Indian? Well, why didn't you say so? Bring him in.
You'll have to help me carry him.
Sure.
All right, here he is. Now, don't be afraid, boy. This man will help you.
Easy now. Let's lift him in.
Careful.
All right. Sit down. Put him down here. I'll hold the lantern. What? I know this boy.
So?
His name is Modi Pony. He's the son of an Apache chief. Well, let's see what... Uh-oh.
Shiris?
Measles.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad.
Not to a white man. To an Indian, it can be as fatal as bubonic plague.
Oh.
He seems over the worst of it. Modi Pony. Habla. Can thou hear me?
I hear the white eyes. My people...
What of thy people?
The spotted sickness.
How many?
10 warriors have gone to their hunting grounds in so many days. The shaman, Gray Fox, urges us to leave our home and go into the snow country. My father is against it. I went for help to the camp of the white eyes.
What does he say?
Their medicine man wants them to go north.
Why north?
The only way they know to fight the measles is with freezing climate. It arrests the disease.
Oh.
The only trouble is that a sick tribe moving north in winter usually starves to death in roost.
Something can be done, surely.
Pablo, you stay here and take care of the boy. I think he'll be all right. I'll get up there and try to help his people. Maybe I can persuade him to stay.
Doc, that's dangerous country. The Apaches don't trust the white man.
Well, I'll have to chance it. If I can isolate the active cases, I may be able to control it. In any case, they mustn't move off the land. That wagon train of settlers could move in and claim it under the law. That's rich country.
I'll stay.
I'll have to pack in a hurry. I'll need plenty of fever pills and morphine.
Come on, please. Help! Help!
Sit down! I got something important to tell you. We've been starving up here for a month now. Winter's coming. Your wives and kids are looking at you, wondering what you're going to do. Can you answer them?
No!
All right! We need land. Good farmland. If we don't get it, we starve. I'll tell you where we can get acres of the best land you ever saw. You can almost see it from here. I'm talking about the land the government gives them stinking Apaches and the peace treaty with Cochise. They don't farm that land. All they do is hunt on it.
What good is that, Joe?
I'll tell you what good. There's an epidemic of measles in the Apache village. One of them comes stumbling into camp this afternoon. Well, I found out that their medicine man is telling them to move north, off the land. That means we move in. Except for one thing. There's a fella named Doc Six Gun on his way to that village to stop the epidemic. Now, the way I look at it, either we stop Doc Six Gun from reaching that village, or we die.
I say stop him.
Wait a minute. Listen. Listen to me. You know what you're doing? Are you willing to trade your souls for a few acres of dirt? When we left Pennsylvania to come out west, we had a dream. We wanted to be free men on our own land, beholden to nobody. What's happened to you?
You can't eat dreams.
This is inhuman.
Listen to the dreamer, men. We've had all we can stand. It's time for action. Let's go.
Stop. I'll shoot the first man that moves.
Well, he's aimed. Put down that gun.
I mean it. I can't stand by and see this happen. How can we hold up our heads?
Nice work, Luke. That's what's going to happen to anybody else who lily livers out. Come on. Come on.
Nothing worth stealing.
We ain't crooks.
If you're not, why not take off those masks?
I'll give the orders, Doctor. Now, empty that medical bag.
All right. You win.
Drop the stuff on the ground.
Stethoscope. Narcotics. Scalpels. Needles. Catgut. Flint.
Anything else?
Just one thing.
What?
This.
Not let go.
Don't anybody move.
You see, Doc chopped the rifle right out of his hand.
I carry an extra gun in my bag for emergency operations, Mr. Galt.
Well,
now take off those masks, all of you. Makes you feel a little exposed without a mask, doesn't it, gentlemen? And not quite so brave. You grown men should be ashamed of yourselves, playing vigilante at your age. Don't move, Galt. Now get down and pick up that stuff and put it back in my bag. Hurry up. I haven't got time to wait. Close it. Throw it here. Now, I'd suggest that none of you boys try to follow me. I'd suggest you all go home and take care of your family. Come on, Faith.
Let's go.
Mount up, men. We're going after him. Mount up, I say.
Let's go home.
Let's go.
You'll regret this.
Hey, shut your mouth.
I'm with you, Galt. I've got six kids back in my wagon. It ain't right them Indians have the land, even if it's theirs.
All right, Luke. We need that land. Okay.
You going after him?
He's got too much stock for that. I got a better idea.
What's that?
Look here. In my hand.
Well, it's a glass bottle. Where'd you get that?
I palmed it out of the doc's medical bag when I was putting his things back.
Read it.
Dr. Matson, prussic acid, 100 grains.
1 grain would kill you dead.
Well, what good is that stuff?
This stuff? This stuff is going to make Doc Six Gun wish he'd never tangled with Aaron Gort. Let's go.
Where to, Gort?
Frenchman's Ford. I want to inquire after a sick friend.
Oh, Sage. Oh, boy.
Hello! Anybody here?
Stand, White Eyes, sir. Do not move. I am Gray Fox, medicine man to the Chiricahua. Who art thou?
Medicine man to the White Eyes.
What is thy name?
I'm called Doc Six Gun.
Why dost thou come?
I bring strong medicine against the spotted sickness.
Gray Fox has made strong medicine. There is nothing to do but leave this place of evil spirits. Go home, White Eyes.
I come to see your chief, Tall Horse.
I say, go home.
I have given medicine to Modi Pony, the son of Tall Horse. I think you'd better take me to see him.
Very well, White Eyes. I do not trust thee, but I will take thee to Tall Horse. Follow me. White Eyes. Here is the Hogan of the High Council. Enter.
Who is this, O Shaman?
This is Medicine Man of the White Eyes, O Chief. He says he comes in peace.
Stay in peace.
He says he has ministered to Son of Tall Horse.
Is this true?
I treated thy son only tonight, though, Chief.
He lives.
Thy son will recover.
What is thy rank among the White Eyes?
Brave.
Sit by my left hand. Speak.
I have medicines to stop the sickness.
What medicine?
Here, in these blue bottles.
Are these magical?
They are of a lesser magic, but very strong.
Gray Fox counsels us to go north.
Give me just 2 days.
What do you say, men of Chiricahua?
I do not trust White Eyes. They have betrayed us before.
It shall be for the council to decide. Is there consent? If so, break your arrow. All but you, Gray Fox.
I have sworn against the White Eyes, as hast thou.
The council has decided, White Eyes. But if you do us evil, the revenge of the Chiricahua will be swift and terrible. Now, we make thee our brother.
We come down to see how the Indian boy is getting along.
Come in, come in. He's feeling much better. The fever has broken.
Oh, that's fine, huh, Luke?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, oh, sure, that's fine, fine.
You, heard from the doc?
No.
Get out!
Quiet, Midnight, quiet!
Mind if I go in to see him?
Not at all.
Just want to check. Since he came to us, I wouldn't want the Apaches to hold us responsible if anything happened to him. You understand?
I will go with you. It is time for his medicine anyway.
Well, I'll give it to him. Luke has a splinter he'd like you to take out. Right, Luke?
Hmm?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a bad one.
Oh, well, I will do it. Here is the medicine for both the pony. I will mix it in the water. So? He knows how to take it.
I'll just go in.
Now, show me this splinter.
It's right here in this hand.
I see no splinter. Come in the light.
Burr, it pains awful.
Yeah, are you sure? I see nothing.
You don't see it. That's funny. Maybe it's the other hand.
Oh, well, I will look.
Okay. Huh? Forward.
What? What is it?
Look. Moody Pony. He's dead.
It isn't possible. What happened?
I don't know. I gave him the medicine, and he took a swallow and went limp.
Let me listen for his heart.
Well?
He is dead.
That's what I thought. Stand up and turn around.
Huh? Why'd you point the gun?
Do like I say. Search him, Luke.
He's not carrying a gun.
All right. You got a buckboard?
Yes, sir.
Put the body of Moody Pony in the back. We're gonna take a journey. You ain't coming back either.
Hey, Gray Fox.
What does the White Eyes want?
I need help. Take two tablets from the Blue Book, the glass, and give them to the wife of Long Bear.
As thou sayest, White Eyes.
This child has a temperature. Place him away from the well ones. And watch for the spots.
Yes, White Eyes.
All right, now.
Gray Fox.
Yes, Archie.
What does the White Eyes?
He gives medicine from the blue glass.
The effect?
They fall into deep sleep. I do not trust it.
Have any died?
Not yet.
Bring me news in the council if anything happens.
Why does the council send for me, Gray Fox?
Enter the Hogan, White Eyes.
Very well. Oh, Chief, I have much work. It is not fair to thy people to...
Holy Pony.
Gaze upon body of the son of Tall Horse.
How did he get here?
He was brought here by two White Eyes, along with Peddler who did this evil thing.
Pablo, you all right?
He's a lot better than he's gonna be, Doc.
What happened, Pablo?
I gave Moody Pony the medicine. Galt found him dead.
Thus didst minister to son of Tall Horse, O Chief.
Hear me now, men of the Chiricahua. For his perfidy, the white medicine man and his friend shall be dishonored and die. Take them hence and tie them to the cactus plant with thongs of wet rawhide. When the sun shall rise full, the thongs will shrink. And then they shall feel the wrath of the Chiricahua Apache. After the burial of Moody Pony, our people will burn their organs. We shall leave this land of evil spirits forever. No harm to the White Eyes who came in peace. Thus has the council ordered. Thongs fastened to the white medicine man and his friend.
They are, O Chief.
We will leave them. Come.
So long, Doc. You want to speed it up a little? Here's the bottle of prussic acid that killed Moody Pony. Thanks for the use of it.
Come away from them. Let them meditate on their sin until the sun shall rise. At the funeral, we weep for the spirit of Moody Pony.
Easy, Pablo. The lungs begin to press. See, the sun is high.
Try not to move.
See, the vultures come already.
Yes.
Pablo.
Yes. That's no vulture. It's midnight.
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 I have a thought. A wild thought, but still.
What?
My raven can untie knots.
What?
As a trick, I would often have him untie the string on my peddler's sack. Midnight. Midnight. The knot. Untie the knot.
He's going to the knot.
Untie, untie.
He's tugging at it. No use. Wait, he's getting it. Pablo, he's getting it.
Thus do I consecrate the body of my son, Modipone. Pile the stones on his grave.
Wait, O Chief.
Six gun.
White Eyes stands on the rocks. Kill him.
Wait, men of Chiricahua.
Speak quickly, for in a moment you shall die on my lance.
Men of Chiricahua, I proclaim my innocence, and I risk my life to give proof everlasting.
Don't listen to him.
I will.
Wait. How will you do this, White Eyes?
I will do it by raising from the dead your son, Modipone.
He tricks you.
This is the strongest medicine of all, White Eyes. Beware.
Give me one moment.
Doc, how can you do this?
Get my medical kit. Galt has it.
The doctor needs his medicine bag. It is a trick.
We should see. Give him the bag.
Here, Doc. Pray, Pablo.
If you do this magic, you are my brother. If not...
I'm praying, Doc.
Give me the spirits of ammonia from the bag.
Spirits of ammonia. Here.
Now.
He desecrates the body of Modipone. Kill him!
Stop! Look.
His eyes move.
He wakes. My son awakes from the dead.
Modipone. Modipone, canst thou hear me? Tell us the name of the man who poisoned you.
See, O Chief. He points at this one.
Look, run, sir!
Seize him! Smoke, O White Eyes. Thou art my brother.
Doc.
Yes?
Please, before I explode like a bomb, what happened?
When we first saw Modipone's body, I noticed that rigor hadn't set in, even though some hours had gone by. Then when Galt gave us that blue bottle, I remembered that it didn't contain prussic acid at all. I put morphine in it just before we left and didn't have time to change the label.
Then Modipone was never dead?
Just drugged into a deep stupor. The spirits brought him back. Spirits of ammonia.
There is a saying among the gypsy people, you cannot get two skins off an ox. You have proved it wrong.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by George Lefferts. Heard in the cast were Peter Capell as Aaron Galt, Kermit Murdoch as Willie James, Donald Duke as Modipone, Richard Saunders as Luke, William Keane as Gray Fox, and Craig McDonnell as Chief Tallhorse. Gun, starring Carl Weber as the frontier doctor, with William Griffith as Pablo, the wandering gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Getting to the bottom of a story of Indian chiefs being poisoned, that was Dr. Six Gun in his pilot episode. It came to us from September 2nd, 1954. Well, we have one rival standing in for another in the Jack Benny program right after this. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. They made quite a bit out of their ongoing competition. There really was some competition between Jack Benny and fellow comedian Fred Allen, although they had really significantly different styles, especially as the years progressed. But one was often a guest of the other, and tonight Jack has a cold. Fred is in for Jack, although there are some things he can't do, such as play that notorious violin saw, the bee. The rest of the gang is on hand, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, Mary Livingston, and also, of course, Don Wilson. Our story tonight is called The Nightmares of Fred Allen. It comes to you fueled by Jell-O. And our broadcast is from January 30th, 1937.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Everything Is Rhythm in My Heart from First in Girl. Easy as rolling off a log. That's an expression we all use, but I know an even better way to describe something easy, and here it is. Easy as making Jell-O. Because Jell-O really is amazingly simple to prepare, and whenever you make Jell-O, you're making a dessert that's certain to please everyone. For Jell-O's famous true fruit flavor always gets a great reception. But just remember that you can find that grand extra-rich fruit flavor only in genuine Jell-O. All six delicious flavors are extra-rich, and they come from fresh, ripe fruit. Easy to make, easy to take. That's Jell-O, the most popular gelatin dessert in the entire world today. That's Jell-O, too. So don't accept any substitute. Be sure you get the real thing. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. And now we bring you our radiant master of ceremonies with warmth in his heart and a cold in his head, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny speaking to you through a Kleenex. So don't get too close to your radios, folks. You know how these colds spread.
Where did you get that cold, Jack?
Down at the racetrack. You know, I went out to Santa Anita yesterday.
Well, why didn't you wear an overcoat?
I did, Don. I wore one on the way out. The bookmaker wore it home.
Usually do, don't they?
I tell you one thing, Don. I'm through with horses. That fourth race yesterday cured me.
Well, that's all what happened.
Well, Don, I didn't mind when my horse stopped in the middle of the race and quit cold. But when he came over to the rail and asked me if I heard Fred Allen Wednesday night, that was going a little too far. How can a horse run during the day when he's up all night listening to the radio?
Well, you know, Jack, even they have to have a little fun.
Say, Don, do you think Allen could have bribed those people to say I couldn't play the bee?
Why, Jack, I thought you told me this morning that you were going to forget all about him.
Oh, yes. Just slipped by. Well, anyway, I swore I'd never bet on another horse as long as I live. Unless it's a sure thing, you know.
Hi, Don. Hello, sucker.
Listen, Mary, you didn't do so well at the track yourself yesterday.
I didn't, eh?
No.
I came home with three winners and a jockey.
Oh.
Anyway, I only had bad luck in one race.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? The jockey forgot his smudge pot and my horse was frozen at the post.
No, Mary, why do you make those things up?
Good practice in case I ever get on a comedy program.
Yeah. Something funny about this. Well, that's my ambition, too. My ambition, yeah.
Hiya, fellas. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Fred. I mean, Kenny.
Oh, Jack, why don't you get Alan off your mind?
He's not on my mind, just because I happen to say Fred. There are a lot of Freds. There's Fred McMurray, Fred Astaire, Fred Stone. There are millions of Fred, aren't they, Kenny?
Yeah, but Alan's the funniest.
Is that so? Huh?
Say, who was that J.B. he was kidding about last Wednesday night?
J.B.? Probably George Burns. You know, he spells by ear. Anyway, I don't want to talk about him. Let's forget F.A. That's short for fake, and that's what he is. Ha! Let him top that one!
Don't worry, he will.
Oh, yeah? Well, let's forget it. What's that paper you got there, Kenny?
I don't know. I found it at the racetrack.
Let's see it. Oh, it's a dope sheet.
A what?
A sheet dope.
Oh, you can say it either way. Yeah.
You have a good time at the track, Kenny?
I'll say. They got better hot dogs there than at Ocean Park.
Oh, so you just go there to eat, huh?
You said it. I saw him with a hot dog so big, I put $2 on it to show.
I just put mustard on it.
Oh, you did, huh? Come in.
Special delivery from Mary Livingston.
There she is.
The way he's laughing, it must be from my mother.
Hey, that's good. We could stand a few laughs. Well, you can go, boy.
What?
I say you can go. What are you standing there grinning at me for?
So you're the guy that can't play the V.
Get out of here. Wise guy. If I didn't have this cold, I'd go right after him. Between Alan and horses and colds and play, Phil. Give me an aspirin, Mary. Played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And by the way, Phil, I want to tell you what a nice time I had at your house last Sunday night and how much I enjoyed meeting your mother and your sister, Lucy Bell. Say, she's a knockout.
Well, she thinks a lot of you, too, Jack.
Does she really? She
certainly does. She's been talking about you all week long.
Gee, no kidding, Phil.
Yes, sir. As far as she's concerned, you're the tops.
Gosh. Well, I've been... Come in.
That's your pulse.
Oh. Well, it's good to know I'm alive, you know.
Yeah.
And that And that reminds me, Kenny, you embarrassed me terribly at Phil's party, always hungry.
Well, I didn't serve anything.
Well, that's no excuse. And another thing, you can't eat goldfish.
You can't, eh?
No.
Wait till they look in the bowl.
Kenny. Say, Phil, is Lucy Bell coming up to the broadcast tonight?
You knew she was.
No, I didn't, really.
Yeah? What have you got that new suit on for?
This isn't a new suit.
Then take off the tag.
Gee, got to laugh tonight, didn't it? I bet I could think of an answer if I didn't have this cold.
Jack, I'm not a doctor, but you know what I think would be good for you?
What?
Why don't you take some Jell-O, dissolve it in warm water, stir thoroughly, and then after it cools, add some sliced bananas and have it with your dinner tonight.
Oh, will that cure my cold?
I don't know, but it's a swell dessert.
Well, I'll try it for the sake of my job, or my cold. Why, Mary, what are you laughing at?
This letter from Mama is a riot.
Yeah, well, if it's that good, let's hear it. See, your mother's letters are always funny. Go ahead, read it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Plainfield, NJ, Jan 29, TH-37.
Hmm. What is that, a code?
No, I'm all right.
Oh. Go ahead.
Dear daughter Mary, received your letter, and I was sure glad to hear from you. We have been having very unusual weather in Plainfield, too.
Must be pretty cold there.
Your brother Hillard had a touch of the flu, but he is now up and around. This morning he got up and chased his nurse around the room.
I wonder who won there.
Your sister Rita's having trouble with her eyes again and keeps running into things all the time. So I guess we'll either have to get her new glasses or bumpers.
Now that's silly.
Tell Jack I know it, but I gotta laugh.
A fine letter. Go on, huh?
Last night, there was a lot of excitement at the Palace Theater. We went to see Camille. In the middle of the picture, Camille took sick and died, so we got our money back.
Oh.
It sure happened quick. She was in perfect health when we sat down.
Well, that's life for you. Yeah.
No more news at present, except your father is very busy making out his income tax.
Hmm.
He cheats at solitaire, too.
Nice about your father.
Tell Jack we're all quite interested in his fight with Fred Allen. And speaking of the bee, will you please send me a check for $25? Love from us all, your Mater.
Mater? You're getting quite high class there.
Oh, here's a P.S.
Oh.
Please ask Kenny to sing Sweetheart, Let's Grow Old Together. And wish him the best of luck, as I know I'm tough to follow.
Well, that's mighty sweet of the Mater. Think you can follow her, Kenny?
Oh, sure. What's a Mater, Jack?
Well, Mater is a Latin word meaning an ancestor on the maternal side. Do you get it?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, Kenny? That's not a joke.
I don't care. I'm not fussy.
Go ahead and sing. Gee, I wish Lucy Bell would get here.
Let's grow old together. Love like ours will never die. Hand in hand in fair and stormy weather, as the years roll by. Dear heart, we're dancing. It's time for romancing, for just we two. Heart to heart beating, my lips keep repeating, I love about you. Dreams of the future arise into little blue eyes. Let's grow old together. Love like ours will never die. Hand in fair and stormy weather, have just you and I. On our goal
That was Sweetheart, Let's Grow Old Together, sung by young Kenny Baker. And say, Phil, did Lucy Bell get here yet?
Not yet, Jack, but she ought to be here any minute.
I wish she'd hurry up. You said she mentioned my name, didn't you?
Yeah, she did.
What'd she say?
Well, she said if you'd have sent her flowers, they'd have been much nicer than the ones she got from Kenny.
Oh, yeah? You keep out of this, Kenny.
I didn't say anything.
Well, anyway, when Lucy Bell gets here, I want everybody to behave themselves, especially Kenny and Mary and Don.
I'll be all right.
Yeah, I bet that's her now. Gee, do I look all right, Mary?
Not to me.
Come in. Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I want to take this opportunity of wishing you and
get
your...
Get out of here! I wish somebody had set a trap for him.
Oh, Jack, look who's coming to the studio.
Well, well.
Here comes Lucy Bell now.
Well, well. Hello, Lucy Bell.
Hello. Oh, I'm just tickled pink to see you again, Mr. Danny.
Oh, Lucy Bell, why don't you call me Jack? After all, I'm your brother's friend, and yours too, I trust.
You mean that?
Yeah.
You're not acting, are you? Only like a fool.
Mary.
Oh, and there's Mr. Baker. Thanks for those poinsettias you sent me, Mr. Baker.
Chuck, I ordered flowers.
Now, Kenny, what do you think poinsettias are? A couple of dogs?
Yeah, with spots on them.
That's right. Tell me, Lucy Bell, you've been in town a week now. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, I met a nice young man, lives next door.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me out to Hollywood Bowl the other night.
The Hollywood Bowl? Why, there are no concerts there this time of year.
We didn't mind.
I mean, have you done anything interesting?
Oh, that was very...
I mean, have you seen any of the sights around town?
Don't raise your voice to me, sir.
Oh, sorry, Lucy Bell.
Now, listen, Jack. Either respect my sister or take up my option.
Oh, there's my brother. Hello, Filsy Lamb.
Filsy Lamb.
What are you laughing at, Stinky Pie?
That's your fault, Mary, for telling him my nickname.
Wait till I tell him your real name.
Why?
You know, you sure have a big crowd in this studio. Is that the audience?
No, that's Don Wilson. The audience is over here. Although he's an audience enough for anybody. You know, Don is our sponsorial mouthpiece.
He is? What's that?
Well, that's, Lucy Bell, that's... Oh, you explain it, will you, Don?
I'll be glad to.
I knew you would.
A sponsorial mouthpiece, Lucy Bell, is a fellow who says the Jell-O is the finest, tastiest dessert in the world, and it has that new extra-rich fresh fruit flavor, and every day millions of people eat it.
Oh, that.
Yes, Lucy Bell. That's Don's whole life, giving sponsorial hints to the world. Well, Lucy Bell, if you'll wait around till the program is over, we can go out somewhere and have a sandwich, you and I, or a dance or two.
Oh. I'm sorry, Jack, but the boy next door was waiting downstairs to take me for a drive.
Well, some other time then, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, bye, everybody.
Bye, Lucy Bell.
Come again.
Bye, Jack.
Goodbye, Lucy Bell. Have a nice time.
We will.
The boy next door. Say, Phil, who lives next door to you anyway?
Well, Robert Taylor lives on one side and Jackie Cooper on the other.
Oh, Jackie Cooper. Well, he's just a kid. I don't have to worry about him.
Robert Taylor don't have to worry about you.
Yeah? Play, Phil. What kind of a guy? Remember, played by Lucy Bell's brother and his orchestra. And now, folks, tonight, I would like to settle once and for all an argument that has been the talk of the musical world. It seems that...
Say, Jack.
Yeah?
What about that special 4th of July sketch you announced last Sunday?
Well, Don, I'm not in a 4th of July mood tonight, but there will be some fireworks. I've got something very important on my mind that I'd like to discuss with Phil Harris. So if the rest of you fellas want to go home, it's all right with me.
Okay, as long as you don't need us. So long, Jack.
So long. You can go too, Mary.
All right. Come on, Kenny. Let him try to get laughs now.
Yeah, I'm not in the mood for laughs.
So long, Jack.
Goodbye. And there are other things in life besides comedy.
What's on your mind, Jack?
Come here a minute, Phil. Phil... how many men have you got in your orchestra?
15.
15, huh? Well, next Sunday, I'd like to have you add about 30 more. A real symphonic organization.
But what's the idea, Jack?
Well, Phil, there's one argument I didn't start that I'm going to finish next week. I'm going to play Schubert's immortal classic, The Bee. Thank you, music lovers.
But, Jack, do you think you can do it?
Oh, Phil, here's the music. You can see for yourself it's a simple composition.
I don't know. There's a lot of notes there.
Well, those aren't all notes. Anyway, should have screen doors here. Anyway, you can go now, Phil. I just wanted to get everything set.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Phil, I'm kind of tired anyway, really. I don't feel like working much more tonight. And, I haven't been feeling any too good. I think I'll lie down here for a minute or two, yeah?
That's a good idea, Jack. That cold has got you down.
Yeah. So long, Phil.
So long.
See, this couch feels pretty good right now. That. I don't know how I ever got through today. Excuse me, folks. You know, I haven't been so sleepy since last Wednesday night between the hours of 9 and 10. Oh, boy. You know, folks, life's a funny thing. It's the little things that upset you. You take a fellow like Alan who... Yes? Sir, life sure is. Yep.
I'll have a big symphony orchestra. And I'll show that guy up.
Bee, nothing but bee. The busy bee. To be or not to be. J.B. J.B. F.A. F.A. Fe. Laughing.
Well, as I live and breathe and stuff a doll in my mouth so I won't laugh at his jokes, if it isn't Jack Benny.
Fred Allen. Allen, what are you doing here?
So you're going to play the bee. A haw, haw, haw.
Yes, I am. And when I get through with the bee, it'll be number one on the hit parade.
Hit parade? Why, you couldn't even get into the parade of the wooden soldiers and you got a head start.
Oh, no? Now listen to me, Allen. Last Wednesday night, you brought three kids up to your program, known as the Three Smart Girls, didn't you?
Yes.
And what did you ask them?
I asked them why they call themselves the Three Smart Girls.
Yes, and what did they say?
We said we never listened to Jack Benny.
Now listen, Alan. Listen to me. You've dragged my name through musical mud long enough.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
See this gun? If you've ever prayed, pray now.
Oh, what's the use? You'll play the fiddle anyway.
Yeah? Well, that's the last quip you'll ever make. Take this.
Wait a minute. Don't you.
I thought you were a coward.
you spineless yellow jellyfish.
Yellow? Why, you're yellower than a canary bird with a jaundice.
That's the last straw. Now, before I bump you off, Alan, I just want you to remind you of a few things. You said I couldn't play the bee at the age of 10, didn't you? You brought the postmaster from Waukegan up to testify against me, didn't you? You brought the photographer. You brought my violin teacher. You brought our family pawnbroker. Why, for $2 you could have gotten my father. You accused me of picking up old cigar butts. You said I'd never live to be 104 and a half. You made me the laughing stock of the nation and Europe by short ways. You laughed, you lied, you ridiculed, you slandered, and you called me a squirt. Well, the squirt has turned. You reached the end of your rope, Alan. Take that, and that, and that.
Jack, what's the matter with you?
Wake up, Jack, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing, fellas. Nothing. I just had a dream. And, gee, it was swell. Play, Phil.
Nearly every home has some particular specialty, one grand dish that the whole can. And I'm here to tell you about that kind of a hit, a combination of luscious figs and strawberry Jell-O. Here's how you make it. First, dissolve a package of strawberry Jell-O in 1 pint of hot water and fig juice. Chill until slightly thickened, and then fold in 1 cup of sliced stewed figs. After that, just mold and serve with whipped cream. And what a swell combination that is. Golden figs and rosy, cherry, strawberry Jell-O. Good to look at, better to taste. No other gelatin dessert has Jell-O's extra-rich, fresh fruit flavor. So when you make jellied figs, just be sure to make them with the one and only genuine Jell-O.
The last number of the 18th program in the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Don.
A telegram just came in. Do you mind if I read it?
No, no. Who's it from, Don?
Well, it's from Alton Cook, radio editor of the New York World Telegram.
Oh.
It says, congratulations to Jack Benny on the new honors he has won in the World Telegram Radio Editors Poll. Stop. For the fourth consecutive year, he has been voted America's favorite comedian by the radio editors of the United States and Canada. Stop. The Jell-O program was picked as the all-around favorite show for the third successive year, and Don Wilson was voted the best studio announcer. Stop.
Well, Don.
Congratulations also to Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, and Kenny Baker, who have maintained their same high standard. Signed, Alton Cook.
Well, thanks, Alton, and all of you fellow radio scribes for this great honor. I also want to thank my listeners, my cast, and my authors. Hey, wasn't that swell, Mary? Come on, let's go.
All right, my dream man.
Good night, folks.
At this time, the entire country is shocked by one of the most unparalleled catastrophes in recent years. The victims of the floods need not only your sympathy, they also need your help. Give as much as you can afford to help relieve the intense suffering in the flood areas. Send your contributions to your nearest Red Cross chapter and be as generous as you can. Thank you. The part of Fred Allen was played tonight by Lynn Hayes. The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston came to you from Hollywood.
Nightmares of Fred Allen, an episode of the Jack Benny program, or maybe the Jell-O program, as it would have been called, January 30th, 1937. Stay right there for Gangbusters as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.